We were making dolls, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, then I saw this hair, you know, I stitched it on here. It had my doll, had this longest hair. I had a collection of dolls with long hair that like you never saw. And then I made some dresses, all kinds of dresses. I would say except from dancing, I didn't care for sports. I used to be a fabulous runner though. You know, one time I wasn't in the mood to run or compete with the girls, not with any of the schools, but just, you know, some of us, well, I'll be too old there to run everything. And I always won. I was a fantastic runner. But I didn't care for sports, never did. But I loved to dance. But you know, we had these phonographs that wind up, you know, we had records. And I put on a regular show by myself there because I was not allowed to be out on the street after school, you know. No, you come home, you stay in the house. So I played records and I'd be dancing. I work out my routines and then put on a performance maybe sometime later, it's Halloween or something.
Were there ever things you were not allowed to do?
Like what was
that
I allowed?
You wanted to?
What was I allowed to do? No, not really. No. No. No, I didn't care much to go, well, I don't know. Like some kids like to go on, you know, get together in groups and do things. No, I didn't. I didn't care, not particularly. We used to go to regular dancing, you know. They have these places where you give the, over there they call them the tardeada. All the young people go to dance in the afternoon, on Saturday afternoon or Sunday. Saturday afternoon from about 6 to midnight, or in the air on Saturdays from 3 to 5, 3 to 6. So some of my friends would go, you know, kids from school, and we'd go to the dance. I like them. We'd go to the dance. Or on Saturday, for being that it was late, my mother would take me. You would see a lot of the mothers there sitting. Nowadays, oh my gosh, oh mother, oh, what would my friends say? We didn't think anything then, you know. There were a lot of mothers sitting. Nobody minded. And the mothers were just watching everybody dancing. And midnight comes, we go home.
Yeah. Did you go back and forth much between Juarez and El Paso?
Well, everybody goes. It's like going downtown. Sometimes we go dancing over there. Or we go to restaurants or picnics or something like that. But everybody goes. You know, it's just you can even walk. It's so close. You can walk across the bridge back and forth, or take the streetcar or a car. And a lot of the people come from over there to the markets in El Paso and buy certain products that they don't like. And the people that live in Texas, in El Paso, they go to Juarez to buy the things that they like better and much cheaper. So it's really funny. It's just like two rows of fans, you can see, you know. They're all carrying packages, walking across, you know. Everybody's carrying, you know. It was, you know, think about it. It was really comical.
You said that you had a lot of chores that you did around the house when you were
young.
Yeah,
everything. You know, well, we didn't have much of a house, but that house had to be clean. It was clean. And I had to cook the beans. I had to cook whatever had to be cooked. I had to start it and see that it was cooked. And sometimes it was so late I'd fall asleep and the thing would be burned.
How did you feel about having to do so much around the house?
I didn't think anything of it. No, I was not a rebellious child, ever. Never. I think I grew more rebellious as I grew older, but things in life that just I feel are not right. But I was not a rebellious child.
And there was lots of discipline, I'm hearing you say.
Yes, yes. No, it was not, my mother didn't, she gave me a few spankings, but not beatings. And I just grew up with the idea that, you know, a child obeys his parent, and that's all there is. And even if it's even as a child, I understood, as a matter of fact, I think that I understood my mother's position more than she understood mine as a child, because I didn't see much of her, and sometimes she would come in a hurry and bring a few groceries, and I had to go out again, and I know she went with some friends, and I miss her company very much. But then I used to comfort myself and think, well, she's alone, she doesn't have a husband, she works all day, and she's tired, and she wants to see her friends. And I accepted it. More that she never stopped to think, well, I have kept this child here in this room all day, and she wants me, I need to be with her. She didn't think that way. I was more perceptive about those things than she did. But I think it goes with just the normal sensitivity of every individual.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was more understanding of her problems than she was of mine. Mm-hmm. But I was never rebellious about it. I loved her just the same. I still love her. I would just, as a matter of fact, she died 4 years ago. I was just getting to where I could visit her grave without crying. And then I just lost my husband.
Mm.
It's been a long haul for me these last few years. I had illnesses and then my husband lost both of them.
Did your family celebrate Mexican holidays?
No. No, we were not very patriotic. I don't know how that happened, but we were not very patriotic. As a matter of fact, I don't like to mix in their festivities. I don't know what it is. Maybe the noise or the crowd or something. I don't like to. What I feel is, I feel it in a more. It's more of a heartfelt thing that doesn't necessarily. I don't feel like celebrating, going out, you know, and making noise and celebrating, and I just don't care for that. Mm-hmm. Or even for the 4th of July, even for that matter, the banging the firecrackers and all that. I just think it's so unnecessary.
Yeah.
I think it's immature in a way.
Did you celebrate Christmas and Easter and things like that?
No, I celebrated the same as here. I'm more American in many ways. Yeah, I'm definitely an American, I would say. Except for this early training, you know, that I mentioned, early training about the relationship with it within the family or your parents is the only thing in our culture that has stayed with me. But other than that, I would say I'm very American. But, you know, like, you are born American, right? A Native American. I don't know how others feel, the naturalized citizens, but it comes up there, there's a line there where it, they ask a question and they say something to the effect that, would you take up arms against your native country if the United States was at war with your native country? Something to that effect, I forget the right words, set words. You know, when you come to that, and it goes deep, you think, how would I feel if the United States was fighting with Mexico? And I would go and fight against my own people? You stop and think, you put yourself, would I take arms against my own people? And that hurts. You think about it. I know it did me. I don't know how the others feel about it. But I'm very well aware, well, I'm doing this voluntarily. I feel that I love this country enough to make it my country. Yes, it would be my duty to do so. Without hesitation, I would. They ask him, and you know, you answer, how do you feel, man? I would take it up without hesitation.
When did you go through the process of becoming a citizen?
Just before the war, I think. Oh, shortly before the war. It was a matter of, I would say, you know, all my life I kept saying, I'm going to become a citizen one of these days. I'm going to apply one of these days. You know, like, this is a matter of you just go there and fill up some papers. And, when this thing about, you know, war and the rumors of war and all that, well, I better take care of it. And I did. So that's the reason I got to where I could work, because, you know, you could not work if you were not an American citizen. And you could not work in defense if you were not an American citizen. So by the time I went to work, I was in America.
Were you prepared at all for menstruation before it happened to you?
You mean if I was told about it?
Were you told about it beforehand?
No, not by my mother. Like, because the girls always talk, you know. The girls always talk. But I knew. Yeah, I knew.
How was that for you?
Just one of those things that you have to go through. It wasn't anything big deal.
What kinds of social activities did you have in high school?
They didn't have dances and things like they do now. You just worked. You just worked, and other than playing with other schools, that's all. During school hours, that's all. We didn't have anything. Or maybe the yearly picnic, that's all we had.
Did you go out on dates at all?
Occasionally, yeah, with other girls, maybe group dating. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I had my boyfriend later, too. But, you know, I was, you know, I could say, well, we're going to a movie or to dance. Well, okay, but you're here at this time, 10 o'clock or whatever it is. And I was back at that time.
You didn't have to have chaperones?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Of course, that happened in Texas. You know, maybe if I'd have been in Mexico, I'm pretty sure I would have had a chaperone. Yeah, your little brother or somebody goes along. Yeah.
When you were a senior in high school and graduation was approaching, what did you think about the future? Did you think about going to college, or did you think about getting a job, or what were your expectations?
Those days, you know, you're just going to get married. You're just going to get married. Yeah. Well, like I said before, I would have loved to have been a professional dancer. I would have just loved to travel and just be a good dancer. But since I knew I couldn't be, well, I just got married.
So you got married right after high school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How had you met your husband?
Dancing. Yeah, I used to go dance. Yeah, I was taking some private lessons. Precisely, I was thinking. Although I had, you know, when I grew, when I could hold a full-time job, I was paying for my private, I did pay for some private lessons. And my husband was there he used to belong to a club, which they were putting on, they were having a party or some kind of, some event that they had. And some of the members of the club were putting on a dance number. Some were going to sing, and he was in this group where they were going to put a dance number, a South American dance. And the group were there to take lessons for this particular event. And I had been going to the studio to get my private lesson. So the teacher asked me if I would... You know, private means private. There was nobody in the room. They closed the doors, only the pianist and the teacher and you. And so here's this group. They were just through with their lesson, and the teacher asked me if I would like to dance while they were still there. And I resented that so much. And I just sort of walked. I was towards the piano, and he walked. And he repeated to me. He said, "Would you like to dance while they're here?" I said, "This is a private lesson." And I was very annoyed. And they said, "But look, if you think you're going to be a professional dancer, it would be a good idea, you know, to informally get used to dancing in front of other people," which I knew was right. But I was not in a particular mood to do it that particular day and to be, you know, so bold. But now, if he'd have warned me before, it'd be a good idea if, you know, sometime you should do this, I would have accepted it. But the fact that he told me in front of them, I resented that very much. And I said, "No, I don't want to." No. And then he did. In fact, he looked just like that then. He said, "Oh, she's a farm girl. She's bashful." And I said, "This fresh guy, it just made me so mad." That made me even more reluctant. "No," I said, "no, don't want to." And I didn't. Okay, so they left. And this guy used to come up with things like that every time. But he was really nice. He was just that way. And he used to be so talented in so many things, in radio and in electronics and so many things. And he had a little radio shop at that time. And I used to have to practice with the records, you know. And my radio went on the blank. Something was wrong with it. And the teacher asked, "Practice such and such number." And I said, "No," I said, "I couldn't. Something's wrong with my radio." He had the radio and phonograph combination. We didn't have the winding thing anymore, you know. It was the radio. I said, "Well, Bob can fix it for you. He's really good." And he says, "What, Bob?" "Well, you know, Bob Purdy. He can fix it for you. He does a lot of radio work." I said, No, I don't want to have anything to do with it. So anyway, he said, "Let him fix it for you. He's very reasonable. He'll fix it for you." So he mentioned to him. Sure enough, next night he was over there. He came to fix the radio. And that's the way we started. So he fixed my radio, and And then he asked me to do a movie in a few days, and we went to a movie, and another time went to another movie, we went to dinner, and that's it.
And you were in high school?
No, I was in, as a matter of fact, I didn't graduate. I dropped out to go to work.
Mm-hmm. How long did you go before you dropped out? When did you drop out?
Oh, just a year short, I think. Yeah. Because my brother was ill, and I just felt that I had to. He was working, and he was the only one working, and I was working part-time after school, and I was beginning to be like I was two women here on my young brother, and it didn't seem right to me, and so I went to work. And so Bob and I got married, and then by that time, shortly my brother died, and then my mother went to live with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it was until she died. She stayed with me all these years.
What was his family like? You told me that his mother was Spanish background.
Mm-hmm.
And
his father was an electrician. He was born in Michigan. And he had a lot of aunts. He had a big family. He came from a big family. He had two sisters. One of them is passed on now, but he still has another sister and a brother. And he did get to. He had a nice family life. He had his grandmother, and he didn't know any of his grandfathers, but he had his grandmothers and. A large family, a lot of aunts and cousins, and he had a normal family life, which I used to tell him, he used to say, oh, we had such a hard time, we live in La Mesa, his father acquired some land in New Mexico for homesteading, and they used to raise chickens and goats and vegetables and fruit and pigs and all that, and he used to complain that he had to work so much, they had to work so much, and his mother had to work so much, and they had to work so much. I said, Robert, you don't know how lucky you were. You were so fortunate. You had your father and your mother, your brothers, your sisters, you had a family life, and you don't know what it is to grow up alone living on the roadside of the tracks. And you had lots of food. I said, you should be so grateful. You had lots of food. And like he used to say, oh, this milk we drink here is worse than the ones we gave to the pigs. You used to say, this rich, creamy milk, and they just pour it out to the pigs and give the eggs to the pigs. He says, we were lucky. We had an egg, maybe two eggs a week. So you are ungrateful.
When did you get married?
1935. Oh. We've been married 45 years.
Will you tell me about your wedding?
Well, he was working for the railroad then. Working for the railroad.
Doing what?
He was in the new service. And, but he used to do some radio work on the side, on his own. But he was working for the railroad. He got his brother was working for the railroad ever since he started as an office boy, too. And he was there. It's the only job he ever had. So he got him in. He got him into the railroad. And he said he used to work, be on the road 3 days, maybe. From Texas to California or Arizona, he'd stay overnight 1 or 2 days and then go back. And after we'd gone out for a while, he said, next time I come back, said we're going to get married. And of course, I didn't believe him. But we did. He said, we're going to get married. Like we said, what else is, if you ask my mother, well, you better ask her. So he went and asked her. To this day, I don't know what he asked her. They talked about a half an hour. And we just went, we were married in Mexico. Like I said, you know, you walk back and forth. We went to Juarez and we got married there. Took a couple of friends and we got married over there. And the office was already closed. The municipal office was already closed. And we got the clerk. We rented a taxi. We got the clerk way up over there to where the clerk lived. And we brought him all the way to the what they call it, the municipio, because it's like the courthouse, you know. Brought him all the way to the courthouse and we got married. We had dinner with him in Juarez and danced and all that until midnight. So it was very small, very private.
How'd your mother feel about you getting married?
Oh, she had no objection. She liked him. She was a very good man. He was a good man, she said. And she liked him all the time. We were neighbors, incidentally. He used to live next block. His father and his mother used to walk, you know, to go into town, walk past. And so we sort of knew each other just from being neighbors. And he said, well, he's a very good man. He's a good man. And it's unheard of. I mean, personally, I have never known anyone in-laws, like daughter-in-law and father-in-law or vice versa, that get along as well. I have never known personally any mother-in-law and son-in-law that got along so well as they did. And like I say, you know, my mother went to live with us. Mm-hmm. Then never I heard one cross word from one to the other, or your mother did this, or that she would tell me, well, Bob, so on and so forth. Never. He loved my mother and respected her, and she did also. And she felt about him the same way. On the contrary, if I was fussing, oh, Bob this, and I thought, you know, complaining about him, oh, he does this, and that. I said, just don't pay attention. He said, just don't pay attention. Just, if he says anything, just let it go in one ear and not the other. Don't pay attention. That's the way she placated. And if I say, you know, she used to worry me. She used to worry more than all my kids put together, because she was always on the go. And I complained to my husband about it. She worries me. It's already midnight and she's still not here, and I don't know what happened to her, and she doesn't tell me where she is. Well, let her. She's not a little girl. She has her friends. Never mind where she is. You do your own business. Never mind. So both of them used to defend each other. And I never had not 1 minute cross words, you know, that would affect me. Mm-hmm. You know, your mother this or that. Like, sometimes I feel, I see others, oh, your mother so-and-so and your husband so-and-so. Never. And after she was gone, you know, he just loved her so much. He said, I really miss your mother. Mm. Yes, he felt it as much as if he'd lost his own mother.
What kinds of expectations did you have about what being married would be like? Did you think about what you wanted from being married, or what you thought it would be like?
Well, I wanted to be a good wife. I always wanted to be a good wife. I wanted to have a good home, well-reared children, well-behaved, loving family, respect my family, respect me.
Did you expect to work after you were married?
No. Mm-mm. No, I didn't expect. As a matter of fact, I was working, and let's see, I was working when we got married, and like I said, he used to go back and forth, but he went on that trip now after we got married. When he got back, you know, he got back, I was not working anymore. No.
You quit?
Yeah.
Where were you working?
At this place where I was telling you, this hunting place. Uh-huh, yeah.